We bring greetings this morning in Jesus' precious name, and also want to welcome all of you, especially our visitors. Glad to have you here. And may we worship together around the throne of God. Thank you, Kevin, for those thoughts. And Dan, thank you for your devotional this morning. There you are. Lifting up Jesus Christ and Him being the answer to life's problems. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. First part of this week, I was studying and thinking and praying, and it seemed like the Lord directed me to this scripture, and yet, and I was thinking that we should need to speak out of the scripture here in Matthew 5, but the more I was studying, it just seemed like that kind of poofed up and vanished and evaporated. So I'm not sure what the Lord's. I feel very scattered tonight, this morning. Verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, I don't know how many of you have read this verse in the past and kind of wondered why did Jesus kind of throw this in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Just seemed like it was not an afterthought or a separate thought, but yeah, a separate thought. Just out of the blue, he said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And how that affected you, I don't know. You know, I always looked at this scripture as it was just kind of a standalone thought that we are to be perfect, and this perfection, you know, I wondered, well, Jesus, why are you saying this? Because man cannot be perfect, like God is perfect. So, yeah, I've been thinking about this for many weeks, and seemed like this morning the Lord was pressing upon my heart to preach out of this. So that's what I'm trying to do. So let's back up. I was going to read Matthew, the whole chapter, but I think for the sake of time, we'll just start in at verse 38. Matthew 5, verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him two or twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and of him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor, hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? If you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now this word perfect is translated from the Greek word not sure if I can pronounce this word, but it's teleios, I think, T telios, telios, which means complete. In various applications of labor, it means growth, mental and moral character, completeness, full age, a man, perfect. Be ye therefore perfect, complete, be a man, be of full age, act your age, in Christ, as our Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Now to be complete, God is satisfied and pleased with us if we have taken care of, through the grace and blood of Jesus Christ, everything that we know of, that could hinder our relationship with God. We have denied and crucified the flesh. We have done what Dan said this morning. I wasn't in here when you read that verse. Where was that verse found? About the way you open up the scripture? The corn of wheat. John 12, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve him, him will my Father honor. Yeah, I remember, I don't know how many of you ever heard. I think the first time I heard this was Dale Heise said this. He said this, you know, if we have a seed and we plant this seed, if the seed could talk, what do you think it would say when we make a row, we poke a hole, and we poke this seed into the ground, and we cover it up, and then we don't just cover it up, but we stomp on the seed to just kind of pack it in there. What do you think the seed would say? You know, I remember him saying that the seed would probably cry and say, "No, this is not what I'm made for." I don't want to die. Friends, if we want to be complete, perfect in Jesus Christ, death is involved. We have to die to self. We cannot live for God in the old life. If we want to be complete in Jesus Christ, we are obeying God and His Word today on an ongoing basis. We are listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, drawing us closer to Himself moment by moment. It becomes a very, very present experience. You know, this thing of being perfect in Jesus Christ is not some mystical, futuristic idea or ideal. Neither is it a historical event that happened way back when, that when we gave our life to Jesus Christ, we all of a sudden we are perfect in Jesus Christ and we don't need Jesus today. If we want to be complete in Jesus Christ, we die daily. We deny the flesh daily. When we are faced with that choice of anger, we die. Yeah, I remember kind of a story that a comedian said one time, that when he was growing up, him and his brother were kind of being a holy terror around the house, and his mom was just, finally she lost patience, and she just started crying and said, "Where did I fail?" And she cried, and finally she was talking to her husband. No, I don't think so. I think she was just crying, seeing where she failed. Him and her husband failed training these boys. And she was crying and hollering pretty loudly. The telephone rang, and she said, "Hello." You know, in a moment, just switch, just like that. Now, I realize he was trying to make a point of being funny. And I don't remember all the words he used. It was truly funny the way he said it. However, I think that's what Dan was trying to say this morning, that we choose how we meet the problem, how we meet the situation. We make a choice. And if we make this choice to meet the, if we make the choice to meet this situation in our flesh, we will fail. We will not be complete in Jesus Christ. We will not be perfect. You know, when we are faced with this choice of, do I get angry or am I kind? We make this choice to be kind, and it's a choice that we just. We have to make it on the fly, because we're faced, and immediately we have to make a response. That's why Jesus said, "Be ye complete in Jesus Christ, as God is complete." Be perfected. Die to self. Allow Jesus to lead you day, moment by moment. You know, it also means to be a man, to act our age, not to be immature in our actions or understanding, or immature in our moral character, to grow up. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says it so aptly. "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know, I grow up and become a man. I take responsibility for my actions. You know, there is a difference between being childish and becoming like little children. There is a difference. The childish one, the man that is childish, is one that cannot control his emotions. He cannot control his situation. He's always just, in the heat of the moment, he does whatever his flesh demands of him. That's childish. Not only childish, it's sinful. But that's not what Jesus Christ was saying when he encouraged all of us to become like little children. He encouraged us to become like little children in a trusting and in a way of just being simple, childlike trust in Jesus Christ. To repent of sin and failures and accept rebuke and correction from Scriptures, Holy Spirit, God's people on earth. To be accountable for our own actions. to take responsibility for things done in this life, not trying to push the blame off on someone else or something else. You know, it's because of this and this and this that I act like this and this and this. You know, when we do this, then finally we get to the point where we can never, we get to the point where it's never our fault the way we respond. It's always somebody else's fault. You know, failing and making mistakes is shameful, yes. But the bigger shame and the bigger condemnation is not in not admitting them and repenting from them, from repenting of our sins, not apologizing for the wrongs that we have done. Now, this Greek word perfect is found 19 times in the scripture, in the New Testament. 17 times it's translated perfect. Just give you examples of at least two, two of them. Matthew 19:21-22, when Jesus was speaking to the rich young ruler, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, if thou wilt be complete, if thou wilt be a man, go sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus saying, if you want to be complete in me, go and sell what you have. Let the riches go and follow me. The other one is, I'm just going to give you two examples. The other one is in Ephesians chapter 4. There in verse 12 through 16, Ephesians 4, 12 through 16. How God has, what's the word I want? He has brought the church together, and he has laid out some foundations for them and given them the direction, given them leaders, given them. Verse 11, it says, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the completion of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and at the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. We are complete in Jesus Christ. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This is God's plan for the church. This is God's plan for us today. That as we all live and work together, as we do what we are, as we live the calling that we have, that this is a perfect, it has a perfecting, it perfects all of us to the work of the ministry. It perfects us and makes us perfect in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It makes us complete. You know, we are not an island to ourselves. We're not complete. I'm not a complete entity in the Church of Jesus Christ. I need you, brethren. And I trust you need me. I hope I can supply that need, but that is God's plan. Now, one time it is translated be men, 1 Corinthians 14:20, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In understanding, be complete. In understanding, be perfect. In understanding, be a man. Think your things through. Think of, you know, try to understand, if I do this, what will happen? If I do this, will this happen? You know, I know we all make mistakes. But when we are faced with a problem, let's not just whatever the flesh dictates, but think our things through. Be a man and take responsibility. Be a man and search out the scriptures. Be a man to look at scriptures and try to find direction and encouragement for my own life, first of all, for my family, and then for everyone. You know, it's pretty discouraging when in the church, when brethren or people just say, well, you know, they can never come up with a thought themselves. They can never contribute to Sunday school. They can never, they're always, you know, the ones that are taking, and they're not giving. I think that's, Jesus is saying, be a man, be willing to give, be willing to share, be willing to do what you can, be willing to search out the scriptures and find answers for yourself. And one time it translated of full age. Kind of the same thought here, Hebrews 5:14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So it sounds like God is also encouraging us to be a man, to be understand in be a man in understanding, to allow us to mature to the point that we can receive strong meat. Now going back to Matthew 5, I like the way the Amplified Bible gives us maybe a little bit better understanding of what Jesus is trying to teach us. The Amplified Bible says, you, comma, therefore, comma, will be perfect, growing into spiritual maturity both in mind and character, actively integrating godly values into your daily life. You will be perfect and complete as your Heavenly Father is complete, is perfect. So it's saying if you can follow the word, then you will become perfect as Christ is perfect. It's as you exercise your mind and your character and you're actively integrating, actively receiving godly values into your life, you are becoming more and more perfect like God is perfect. You know, when we actively and with purpose endeavor by the grace and strength of to follow Christ's command, surrendering to his lordship, Jesus Christ is teaching us that we will become followers of Christ, Christians, to be complete like God is perfect. You know, I don't believe Jesus Christ was saying that a man needs to arrive at the same perfection of God in the sense of no sin, no struggles, no problems, no doubts, no times of failure, always on top of life. I don't think Jesus Christ is saying that. Because as our Creator and Lord, he knows that as long as we are in this body, we will struggle with humanity, we will struggle with limitations. Our days are full of trouble, the Bible tells us. But he's not giving us a license to sin. He's not just saying, okay, well, you can't do that, so now go live your way. No, he's saying, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. He's not telling us that we can live a life without the struggle of unholiness and our carnal nature. Not at all. Much more, he's raising the bar of to respond to life like Jesus Christ responded. To not fight back against those who desire to destroy us. To love them with a godly love. To pray for them even in our pain and agony that they inflicted upon us. Remember one of the last things that Jesus Christ did for his persecutors there on the cross? You remember what he did? He said, Father. Anyone else? Father what? Forgive them. Because he was praying that God would forgive them. And did he not say, lay not this sin to their charge? Is that what he said? I think so. So he prayed for his persecutors. He prayed for those that were inflicting this great pain upon his own life. He's saying, learn to do this, and you will become perfect like me. Turn to Psalm 103, just to remind us that God understands that we are dust. God understands that we are frail and human. And I would like to read Psalm 103. To remind us that God does understand our struggles. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He hath made known his ways unto Moses, and to his acts unto the children of Israel. Now verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and in his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearken unto the voice of the word, of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He knows we are frail. He knows that we will fall. He knows that we will fail. He knows that we sin sometimes. We have bad thoughts. We have bad attitudes. But you know, every time this happens and we repent and we say, God, forgive me. God, help me. He is at the throne of God, interceding for us, praying that God would forgive us and give us new life day by day. That's the life. It's not that we are perfect in the sense that we have no sin, but we are perfect because we are completely surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And God is satisfied with what Jesus has done on the cross for me, for you. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Verse 8. Philippians 3, verse 8. Well, let's back up to verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Now, if you don't want to know what a perfect life looks like, pay attention. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, my Lord. If you notice, everything focuses around Jesus Christ. Everything in this chapter, in this portion, it's Jesus Christ. And everything revolves around Jesus Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Hold all things of our life in a distant second to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. You know, when Jesus Christ becomes our focus, when Jesus Christ becomes our total life, we are able to do like Paul said and count all things material as immaterial, as just not important anymore. Yes, we have to provide for our family. We realize that. We have to, we have earthly responsibilities. We have to take care of our children. We have to take care of our family. We have to, ladies have to, I mean, I shouldn't say have to, but they cook and they feed their men and their families, and men provide, the means that they have food to eat. You know, we have these responsibilities, but it doesn't become so that is the absolute focus of our life. Jesus Christ is the focus. Our desire is to completely know Christ. The knowledge of Jesus Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You know, we disdain things in life. We hold them in a very, very loose hand. Our whole life's passion is to find and have the righteousness which is of God through Jesus Christ, through faith in Christ. It's found in verse 9. Verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now, I don't know what you think of this verse, but that is a verse that is not very attractive to the fleshly man. You know, we love to think of the power of his resurrection. We love to think of this thing of living in victory, living in holiness before him. We love that thought. We love this idea that we can be in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But are we willing to die with him? Are we willing to fellowship with him in his suffering? Are we willing to this morning to just simply suffer for the name of Christ? Even to the point of giving our life, our physical life for him. You know, it says here, being made conformable unto his death. That word conformable means to be assimilated. You know, when someone is assimilated into society, they look and act like the society around them. They are assimilated into society. They become one with society. When we become conformable unto his death, we become assimilated into Jesus Christ's death. We die to Christ. To the point that when people look at them, at me, they say, the man follows Christ. He is a Christian. He looks and acts like Jesus Christ. He is assimilated into Jesus Christ. He becomes one with him. Verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Again, that's what we're looking for, the resurrection from the dead. But if we want to be resurrected from the dead, we have to die with him. We have to be assimilated into Jesus Christ. We have to suffer with him. We have to die with him. Verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. To realize that the best is yet to come. We haven't attained yet. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. You know, if we have the humility to recognize that as long as we live in this life, we are prone to slip and fall. Therefore, we walk circumspectly, we walk carefully, we walk as Jesus walked. You know, we don't live in the past. Again, we can. There's people that live in the past. That's all they do is look back. They look back with either regret of all the things they did or all the things that went wrong. They look back with, and all they can see is defeat and misery. Or they look back in a false sense of security that we, because of what happened back then, we're okay today. We understand that Jesus Christ is current. Jesus Christ makes a difference today in our life. We don't live in the past. We don't live in the past in defeat and misery and blame others for what happened to us. We get over that. We become a man. We search out the scriptures. We see that Jesus Christ has paid that price. We can find deliverance in Jesus Christ. And we press and strain with all our grace, all our heart, with all our power toward Jesus Christ, towards God, to keep the prize of God in front of our eyes. Verse 15 again. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, there is that word again, be thus minded. Be minded that what we just read becomes a part of our life, becomes this becomes our experience. That we count all things lost for Christ's sake. We press towards the mark. We allow the excellency of Jesus Christ, to the knowledge of Christ, to become our goal in life. And we're not trying to live life and approach God on our, in our own righteousness. No, it's because of Christ, what Christ said. This is the model of a perfect life in Christ Jesus. You know, if there's anything, if we do this, and if there's anything lacking, God has promised that he will bring it to our mind. We can trust God for that. Brethren, verse 16. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. We are unified in our walk and in our goals of life. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. So he's saying, mark them that do as they say. Mark them that walk in a victorious life. Verse 18, for many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. You know, we in the congregation of Jesus Christ, we hold each other accountable. We love, in love, help each other. And if there's brethren, if there's people here that refuse to walk this way, God is saying, mark them as enemies of God. Verse 20. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? Again, this morning, you know, we look at Paul's life and we say, well, that there was a perfect man. There was a man without struggles. Is that the way he lived his life? Without struggles? I don't think so. You know, I thought of the dispute between Paul and Barnabas about John Mark. Remember that dispute there in Acts? It said that the contention was so great that they parted ways. They couldn't get along with each other. So they faced struggles just like we do. I had thought of another one, didn't write it down. Can't remember what it was. Anyhow, we'll leave that. But the apostles were humans just like we are. They wrote the scriptures, like in Philippians 3, right here, verse 7 through 15, 16. This was Paul writing these words. And it wasn't, he clearly says, it's not that I have attained, but I press, I strive, I give myself with all my heart to God to attain that state of life. And God will change our vile bodies into a glorious body like his. That is the promise of God. Just some precious promises in closing. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved. Colossians 1, 21 through 23. And you, who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled to in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. This morning, be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Be perfect. Be complete in Jesus Christ. Jude 1, 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Let's kneel for prayer.